we have any grateful people in the house? Amen. Flowing from my heart are the issues of my heart. And my heart says grateful. Grateful for the things that he has done. Grateful for the things that he's doing right now. And we just might as well be grateful for the things that he shall do, even in the days ahead. We do honor our God and our Christ to my brother, to my friend, Pastor Christopher Swims. It is always a joy and a blessed delight to be here at the Hopewell Baptist Church. You just don't know how honored I am when I do get your calls. Amen. And so I'm excited, always excited to come and worship with this great church, with this great body, with this great pastor. I don't want to hold you long, but if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to share with me from a very familiar passage of Scripture coming from Galatians chapter 6. And we just want to jump down to verse number 9. And I'm reading from the New International Version. And if it is your custom, we ask that you stand if you can and if you will for the reading of the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 9, it says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." King James Version might say that we do not lose heart. We will reap, if we do not faint. I want to talk just for a few moments from this subject, go back to work. Go back to work. Father in heaven, we come into your presence and we are so grateful for this time that you've given us. We're grateful for this church. We're grateful for this pastor. We're grateful, Lord God, for the opportunity that you've given us to preach. Now, God, I pray that you'll speak to me, that you'll speak through me, that your people might be fed with the truth of this word. Give us insight and give us relevancy. Show us how to apply this passage of Scripture to our everyday living. Now, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are my strength and you are my redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Go back to work. A gentleman by the name of Ralph Martson, an American football player in 1929, once said, "Rest when you're weary. Refresh and renew yourself, your body, and your mind, and your spirit, then go back to work." These words are challenging in these difficult and uncertain times. The reality is that we're living in a day and time when quitting seems like a better option. It's just easier to throw up your hands and to walk away. And it is more difficult to stay with the thing, to see it to its end. At first sign of trouble, it seems like people are quitting and throwing in the towel at work, on the job, in relationships, at church, and even on life. A true test of your commitment is not your enthusiasm or your involvement when things are going well, but where are you and what are you doing when things are not going so well? Can I be transparent with you this morning? Who in this place is willing to admit that there are times when you don't feel like you're being heard, seen, or understood? I'll have to be the first to admit that there are times when I feel neglected, misunderstood, and mishandled. Now, please don't judge me. Don't judge me. Because there are times when you seem and feel the same way. Whether it's on your job, whether it's at home, whether it's in the community, or whether it's in the church, you are becoming weary with what you're doing. Can we just be honest today? I know I'm over in Kentucky, but here in Southern Illinois, I believe that there are some folk who've been working and doing and doing and working, and you don't feel appreciated. Whether it's at home, whether it's at the church, whether it's on your job, whether it's in the community, there are times when you don't feel like anybody sees you, understands you, or even cares about you. And the reality is, I don't care how strong we are, I don't care how close we are to God, all of us become weary. You're losing your patience. You're beginning to doubt that you're doing the right thing, and you can feel yourself losing the passion and losing the energy for doing good. Somebody here today is second guessing if God really called you to this work. Now, a few months ago, when things were going well, you knew God was calling you. You knew you were in the right place at the right time. But now a few months have passed. Now people have become familiar with you, and you have become familiar with the people. And now you're second guessing if you're doing the right thing. You're grown weary. And the reality is, nobody would really blame you if you walked away. Nobody would really be mad at you if you gave up. People would really understand if you said, I'm done. I know that doesn't sound too spiritual here at the church. But the reality is, can we just keep it 100? There are times, even in my years of pastoring, that I have felt like just walking away and say, y'all do what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. Call me when it's done, because right now I'm done. Now, that doesn't sound too spiritual for the man of God. It doesn't sound too spiritual for the woman of God. And it does not sound too spiritual this morning. But since we're keeping it 100, we're just going to go ahead and say there are times when we want to say, do it yourself. But here are the words again from Paul. Do not be weary in well-doing, because you will receive if you do not faint. These important words are a continuation from Galatians chapter 5. And the end of chapter 5 gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is the opposite of the deeds of the flesh. Both show up in how we should live our lives and how we should interact with each other. As disciples, you and I live and we walk by the Spirit. And this is what it means when we say we should be in step with the Spirit. We're not lagging behind God and missing out on when He moves. We're not arriving before God only to find out that God is not there and has no plans of being there. We move when God says move, and we move when and how He says do it. Open chapter 6, Paul is talking about how the believers should interact with each other by bearing each other's burdens, he says. Can I tell you that you're not here just to bear your own burdens, but there's somebody sitting next to you who has a burden that you need to bear. More specifically, Paul tells his readers what should be done when someone sins in the house. We should not kill the individual, and at the same time, we should not ignore the issue, but we should restore them with gentleness. These first few verses teach us how to live in God's Spirit. And when we live and walk in the Spirit, it shows up in the treatment of each other. I think I need to say that one more time. When we live in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, it shows up in how we treat each other. Y'all still not catching me. When we live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, it manifests itself in how you treat me and how I treat you. Are you with me today? Paul acknowledges that the challenge that he has given us will not be an easy story. It will not be an easy journey. I know that we are all saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, but treating each other sometimes just ain't on my agenda. Praying for some folk sometimes just ain't what I want to do. And as I said earlier, just giving up and say you doing it yourself is really more how I feel. Because can I be honest with you? I'm sorry. This is good therapy for me. Can I just be honest? The reality is people are fickle. People are ungrateful. People live in entitlement. People are indecisive. They love you today and hate you tomorrow. And you are their best friend as long as you are agreeing with them. Look, even in our world today, two sets of rules. People think you're crazy and are unable to see what they're doing. For real, for real. In other words, one of the former saints of the Washington Street Church says, sometimes people are drizzling down your back and calling it rain. Use your sanctified imaginations on that one. You'll catch that on the way home. That's how people treat us. And Paul knew this. I believe Paul understood this, and he says to the Galatian church, don't get weary. Let's put a pin there just for a moment. Don't get weary. The text says, do not grow weary. And may I submit to you that Paul is suggesting to us that weariness just does not show up. There are always signs of your weariness. Y'all are not feeling me today. You can see, growth means something that has happened over time. And what I want you to catch is that your weariness grows over time. You just don't wake up in the morning and decide, I'm weary, but you wake up in the morning and what you have been dealing with over time catches up with you. Do I have any folk here in the house who understand growing weary? And Paul says, do not grow weary. In other words, Paul is saying, I want you to detect and know the signs that you're growing weary. Because we don't want you acting out, and we don't want you going off, and we don't want you exploding on people. So understand that there are some things that are happening that are causing you to grow weary. And see, you and I, because we are so smart and we're educated and acclimated, we call all this stuff old age and high blood pressure and my sugar is acting up. And what I want us to understand, that it might be your sugar, it might be your high blood pressure, it might be all of those things, but at the same time, it might be that you're growing weary. Yeah. And so here's some signs of growing weary. You need to understand that you used to be a prayer warrior, but now you barely even pray. You're growing weary. You used to participate in praise and worship, but now you have to be primed. You're growing weary. You used to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and unto his courts with praise. You used to come in here and you were thankful unto him and you used to bless his name because the Lord is good. But now somebody's got to come and tell you to come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to tell you that you're growing weary, but God told me to tell you, understand the signs and understand what's going on. But don't give up, still press anyhow. He says, Paul says, do not grow weary. But second, the text would suggest that we must understand the timing of God. May I remind you that everything is not about when it's convenient for us. Someone has suggested that there are times and seasons that God has ordained in our lives.
And too often we try to reap when we should be planting, and we plant when we should be harvesting, and we run when we should be resting, and we rest when we should run. And so what you and I have to understand is that God has a timing for everything. And the one of the things that causes us to grow weary is that we're trying to do the right thing, but in the wrong season. Nothing wrong with what you're trying to do, but it's not time yet. And thank God that He has a timing for all of our lives. I have plants. I love plants. I love live plants. If you come to our home, they're sitting outside in the backyard now, but I have live plants all over the place, in every bedroom, in the front room, in the back room. And I even have plants in my office. I have plants sitting on my desk, plants sitting in the window, plants everywhere. But every now and then, in order for those plants to grow, I have to take a time to take care of them. And so therefore, I have to go through, I have a little thing on app on my phone that's called Picture This. And so when the plant doesn't look right, I take a picture of the plant and it diagnoses what the problem is and what I need to do to fix it. And so therefore, sometimes my topsoil is dry. If it says if it's dry to the touch, you might need to do some watering. It tells me every now and then I need to fertilize it once a month. Keep it in full sun. Turn it around every now and then so there'll be a balance, because you do know that if you keep it toward the sun, it will grow that way. Y'all miss your shout right there. And so may I tell somebody, while you're weary, don't let your waiting be a waste. Don't let your pain go without purpose. Don't go through all this hell and wake up next week and still in the same stuff. Let it be something that produces something on the inside of you. And so like the plant, every now and then you got to water yourself with the washing of the water. What? With the word of God. How often do you read? Do you read for enjoyment, or you just read when it's time for Sunday school, or when you're preparing for Bible study? Every now and then you have to allow the Holy Spirit to pour into you, to fertilize you, to get you going again. And every now and then you've got to have a balance. Can I tell you, there's something wrong in all the time you popping like popcorn and you never have a time to sit down and allow God to speak. Can I tell you that God is not just speaking in the way you praise, or the way you run, or in the way you do a victory lap, but the Bible, or can anybody know the Bible? The Bible says that God sometimes speaks in a still small voice. We don't always need the organ. We don't always need the keyboard. Every now and then we need to sit down and hear from God. It has to be balanced. You see, it not only has to be balanced, but we have to grow toward the S-O-N. Wherever you are sitting, however you are sitting, that's how you begin to grow. We're on a journey at Washington Street Church called discipleship. And I've been challenging for the last month to understand what spiritual maturity looks like. And I've simply suggested that spiritual maturity is not all of the things that we see people do in worship. You know, things like cry and things like lift up their hands and things like praise and worship, all are good things, but they're not signs of spiritual maturity. And by the same token, because you're doing that, you cannot say that you're spiritually mature, and you cannot make a judgment call on the person who is not doing that, saying that they're not spiritually mature. So what is the sign of spiritual maturity? I'm glad you asked. The sign of spiritual maturity is obedience. That's how spiritual maturity shows up. That's how spiritual maturity manifests itself. What is obedience? Obedience is hearing God's voice and acting accordingly. James says, don't just hear the word, but be doers of the word. And sometimes in our obedience, God asks us to do some things that we ain't trying to do. God says, speak even though they don't speak to you. God says, embrace them even though they don't embrace you. And you know that you're growing up when you do it, but you don't feel like it. So we have to grow. Can I tell you this? We can't allow our purpose to be overshadowed by the obstacles. And we become weary when obstacles get in our way. And can I remind you that obstacles are going to come? Obstacles and distractions called people, spouses, children, and even the church. I'm almost done, but I want to tell you another thing real quick. That waiting is uncomfortable, but it is necessary. Waiting does not mean that you do nothing, but you keep on praying, you keep on praising, keep on participating, keep on going back, and even when they laugh at you and they say that you're crazy, don't respect you, are ungrateful, you do not still lean onto your own understanding, but lean toward God. Waiting is uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Can I say it one more time? Waiting is uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And you and I spend a lot of our time and our energy trying not to be uncomfortable. And what I want us to catch this morning is that when we're growing and when we're moving in the right direction in this thing called Christianity, it means that sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary, because the reality is, can I just talk about me? I wouldn't have prayed if I hadn't gone that route. I would not have sought God's face if I didn't have that difficulty. I remember 30-something years ago, I prayed that God would give me tough skin, and 6 months later, I was in Paducah, Kentucky. Y'all, are y'all feeling what I mean? It's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And what God is trying to get us to do is to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And sometimes getting to that point is uncomfortable, but it's necessary. Don't get mad at me. Whatever you're going through, it's a good possibility that it's necessary. Whatever you're dealing with right now that's uncomfortable, it's a good possibility that God is trying to grow you up. God is trying to get some folk to stop just growing old and grow up. You see, we enjoy four seasons. We enjoy winter. It's cold. Spring brings new life. Summer can be, as we know right now, uncomfortable. And fall begins to turn. But for the believer, we have one more season. It's not just winter, not just spring, not just summer, not just fall. But Paul said it's due season. And it is the due season that is your shout season. It is your due season that is your harvest season. It is your due season to overcome. And so don't try to rush the timing of God. Just wait on your due season. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? I'm almost done. One last thing. Be not weary in well doing, for you shall receive if you do not faint. You'll make it. God told me to tell you you'll make it if you don't give out. You will not make it if you run and hide. I hear former minister of music at my home church in Chicago, Illinois, the Faith Tabernacle Baptist Church, 8210 South Conrad Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60617. And our minister of music's name was Curtis Burrell. And Curtis Burrell wrote this song. James Cleveland kind of took it, but Curtis Burrell wrote this song, and he simply says, "I don't feel no waist tight." He said, "I've come too far from where I started from." When we sang the whole song, he said, "Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but guess what? I don't believe that God brought me this far to leave me." And there is your shout for today. You might be tired, and you might feel like giving up. But God told me to tell you that wherever you are right now, if he did not leave you then, he will not leave you now. Can I tell you that nobody told you that you were going to get through this journey without a hiccup every now and then? Nobody told you that you were going to get through this journey without some difficult road and difficult life ahead? But God did not bring you this far to leave you now. If God had power then, he's got power now. If God could work that thing in your life yesterday, he's got the same power to work it even today. If God could pick you up, turn you around, and place your feet on a firm foundation yesterday, he can do the same thing. Cry if you need to. Cuss if you want to. Run for a minute if you want to. But go back to work.